Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. In the studio today, the one, the only.
Yes.
Felix Anderson.
Glad to be here.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
You shouldn't be so excited about being on the show today.
I'm not.
Producer still comes in.
I know.
Adjusts what we've already adjusted. So
because it wasn't correct.
It was not correct.
No.
That's why we have a producer.
Yes.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're doing right now.
True.
That's for sure.
This is true.
So anyway, so where was I? Oh, yeah. Welcome.
You're introducing me.
Okay. We're done with that now. We've got a topic today that we want to stir it up a little bit. You guys have heard about revival, and some people believe that there's revival taking place in different parts of the world. Some people believe that there's revival that we're in just the, we're just right there practically within the way things are in this nation and in this world, a worldwide revival.
It sure needs
And one. There's a lot of things that are, so we're going to talk about that, and what does that mean for us as men, as Christian men, as followers of Christ? Okay, what does that mean? What is our part in it, and what is it that we need to do? And how come I can't find revival in the Bible? Okay, so anyway, so we'll get to that here momentarily. But in the meantime, we always like to kick things off with some encouragement for men, for you guys who are listening. And you know what, Felix, you got any encouragement that you'd like to be able to bestow upon those who are listening right now? Guys are middle of the night, they're listening, and they're having challenges maybe in their lives, or maybe there's been a tough day, or maybe a tough week, tough month.
Yeah. I have something for people that are having a tough day, tough week, tough month. You know, it may look like it's bad, but it's probably going to get worse. Because only when it gets worse will you realize what your take responsibility for pulling yourself out of the pit. As men, we've got to be able to have resilience. We have to be able to overcome the adversities. Now, I know, guys, sometimes we get overwhelmed with it, and we don't like anybody to know that we're overwhelmed with it. And those are the times that we go and usually medicate or do something stupid with our time, when truly we need to get strengthened. And one of the ways to get strengthened, dial a friend, call somebody. Don't just allow yourself to stay in the muck. I was talking to a brother yesterday, and he said, you know, man, I've been wrestling with depression and thinking even of suicide. And I told him, you know, I said, you know, why would you want to do that? You know, and he just said, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. You know, it's just dark, and it just seems like it's getting darker. But, you know, we've got to stop looking at the darkness and start looking at the light, because the light is the only place we're going to find freedom, and only going to find deliverance and find hope. So, brother, if you're thinking about darkness, if you're thinking about depression, if you're thinking about suicide, and you're a Christian, don't spend your time thinking about that. Start putting your mind on the future. Start looking at what God can do in your life if you will allow him to. Because he loves you, and you can trust him. And so no matter what it looks like today, tomorrow can be better, because God is calling your tomorrows into today. So have an awesome day. Be encouraged in Jesus' name.
Wow, can you do that with a little smile?
It was serious work, man. That was not smile stuff.
But you're absolutely right, though. When it comes down to being able to, in a sense, how do I get out of this thing? I believe it's exactly what Jesus had done when he had come here. He's all about relationship. One thing that men do not want is relationship, except on their time, on their terms.
Yeah.
And the fact is that the Lord has actually put people in our lives that would be willing to give us the time, be willing to listen to us, to be able to guide us in some cases. But we have to make that move. Here's the one thing you can take as a fact, that we're not all mind readers. We don't know when there's something going on unless you tell us. So tell you what, man, the best thing to be able to do, and it's the toughest thing to do, is to reach out and ask. If nothing else, just to talk with somebody, another brother. Anyway, there you go. There's your encouragement. Do not be discouraged. And you know what? By the time you're done listening to all of this, you're going to want to talk to somebody else because, hey, we're just going to light up a little something.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway. All right. Well, the producer came up to us this morning and did not like the topic that we had and had told us in the office just moments before the show started. Said, hey, I think you guys need to talk about revival. Now, that's not throwing her under the bus. It was actually not just a couple minutes. It was a few minutes. So, but anyway, we thought, you know what? That's not a bad idea. You know, a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. In the world, there's a lot of things taking place in this world. There's the fear of days ending, so to speak, because people say, wow, look at all the things that are going on. You got the stuff with ISIS that's going on and instills even more fear. You got people thinking, man, what's going on? Everybody's trying to get their piece of the pie. People are anxious. They're protective. They're, not thinking and they're not caring in some cases. And this all seems to, in some cases, you sit there and you go, wow, let's blame the government, let's blame the president, let's blame all of these circumstances, which they all play a part. But the simple fact is that, you know, something might be taking place. Mm-hmm. And when there's a brokenness, when there's a brokenness in an individual who ends up wanting, desiring a relationship with Jesus, okay, and completely giving it all up, not just for the situation, but completely.
Yeah.
That opens the door to so many things that take place. You know, I pulled this up real quick on revival. And it says here, revival refers to a spiritual awakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. So there's been a stagnation.
No kidding.
Okay. There's been a dormant state of affairs in our lives, okay? Now, we may look at the world, but if we look at our own lives, man, we've been like that.
Yeah.
But something is stirring. Something is stirring.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it yesterday at the one of the meetings that we had yesterday with a few others and mentioned that you thought we were right on the doorstep of revival in this country.
Well, not so not,
it, or maybe in our county.
Yes. How about in our church?
How about in our church?
You know, it's you know, revival is I got a chance to be in a revival in the 90s in Pensacola, Florida, the Brownsville Revival. Where it went for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had church every day for 5 years, every night at 7 o'clock. They met, and then on Sundays they met,
mm-hmm.
and this went on for 5 years. And it was never people came from all over the world to come there. Now, what were they coming for? They came there because the sensing the presence of God in that place was not like any place else that they had been.
Mm.
That's what happened to me. I went there, and I think it was 94 or 95 on my first time, and I had a sense of God in his presence that I had never felt before.
Hmm.
And it was addictive, and it was intoxicating, and I wanted more, and I stayed there a whole week, and I didn't want to leave. Hmm. And then I got my family. When I went home, my wife said, wow, you're changed. And she said, I want to know what happened. And I said, come on. And I took the family down there. And we spent a week there and totally got wrecked. So we came back, and my pastor looked at me, and he said, wow, what's wrong with you? You're changed. I said, come on with me. And then I took him down, and we spent another week down there. Mm. So it was a thing where any excuse that I could get to get down there and be in the presence of God, I was going to be there. Mm. I was thinking of moving down there. That's how bad it was.
How bad?
How good.
Yes.
How bad it was for me not to have what
bad
I wanted.
Meaning good, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And so I've experienced a taste of it. And you see, once you taste, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And Guy, I'm talking to you that's listening. If you think you had all there is of God, then you're definitely mistaken. There is so much more of God available to us. And we need to have it because we were made for it. We were designed for it. So revival is just a matter of getting back to what we should be. I mean, if you were saved by Jesus Christ and you came to the revelation of the cross and what it did for you, giving you eternal life and the joy that was in your soul, first the repentance that you had, because if you didn't repent, then you didn't get saved, because there's no salvation without repentance. I know some churches allow you to do that, you know, raise your hand and you can come on, or you can come down and put your name in a book. Now, that's not salvation. Salvation is when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins. You see yourself as the worthless piece of dung that you are, and you say, Lord, save me from myself. And he does. And that's salvation. He saves us from ourselves. And we has a life exchange between our lives. We give it to him because he gives his life to us. And that is, and so when you get that, the joy, I know for me, as happy as I could be. And I felt his presence. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed the word. But what happens over time is life gets in the way. The family gets in the way. Everything gets in the way, and you distance yourself from God and from his presence because you're busy with stuff, with things, with whatever, and you don't have what you had when you started out. And so revival is trying to set you back on fire. If you were never on fire at the beginning, then you need an awakening, because you need to realize that maybe I need another dose of the Holy Ghost. So...
So what it comes down to, that there is an actual change of heart. You start to see things differently than what you maybe you have never seen before, or maybe what you had experienced at one time, but it's gone dormant like we talked about earlier. So now all of a sudden it's come back for whatever reason. Is it usually because there is something that takes place in our lives, are we the ones that keep this from happening?
Oh, yeah, because God wants to always touch us, revive us. He's always there. Right. It's just like we live our lives not realizing he's always watching. You know, we are the reality show of heaven. Right. There's no TV in heaven. God's got cameras in your house, yeah. In your bedroom, in your He is watching you, but we don't think about that. We're like, God is not in my conscious mind unless I put him there, you know? And yes. So because of that, we live our lives like we want to, and we don't live them for him. Mm-hmm. And in the process, that's how we distance ourselves from him. God always wants to touch us. God always wants to communicate with us, but we're too busy. We're too busy being our own self. And so the problem is that every once in a while, when we get broken, when we're in need, you know, we get vulnerable. And we open ourselves up, and then he's there, and we're able to commune with him. Right. But until then, we're self-sufficient. I don't need God.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah.
So
often we end up seeing things that remind us of how, there's a card that I give out where it's called Forgiven, and it has Jesus holding a man who is just in his arms, fallen. He's got a hammer in one hand and a nail in the other one, right? And it's anyway, the man is all humble, and Jesus is holding him up, okay? And I've seen other things that replicate that same thing, where there has to be a brokenness, a truth that I can't do this any longer. And a big part of that is how the world, the different idols that we have in our lives, things that lure us away from the true thing we should be idling, that is God Almighty. And what ends up taking place is that we end up falling to satisfy the flesh, right? And that takes us in so many different directions. There's so many things that can tickle us, so to speak. And that leads to sin. I mean, it's not just a temptation, but it becomes a sin. Mm-hmm. And because I desire sin more than I desire knowing God.
That's a sad case to be in.
And yet there's a part of us, for those I believe who really believe, they know that, hey man, come on, he's not giving up on you.
No.
He still loves you despite your sin and what's going on. And when that takes place, there's something that it's like all of a sudden I don't know about you, and I've heard this and I've talked with other guys about this sort of thing. But we always look for our comfort. We look for the easier, softer way.
Sure.
I just believe in God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that enough? I'm going to go to heaven now, so it's going to be okay. But that's not it. No. Man, that's the end of your story, okay? Because you don't want to do some of the things that you think God has in store for you.
Mm.
And that's just it. We don't know what God has in store. Or better yet, I don't think he's going to let me have this comfort or this satisfaction, and you're right. He's going to give you something that's going to be better.
Yeah, but we don't trust him.
We don't, exactly.
Yeah, we don't trust God. And you can't trust him unless you know him. You know, and that's the key to this, is that we don't want to know about God. We want to know him. And the only way to know him is just like knowing any other person. You got to hang out with him. You got to spend time with him. You got to read the love letter he sent you. You got to be willing to just open yourself up and really have a friend. God wants us to be his friend. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. And so God doesn't want to distance himself from us. He wants a close relationship. And so, but like you say, things get in the way. The enemy of our soul puts these things in the way so we will have distance from God. Revival is getting back to God, getting closer to God. And what I saw in our church and seeing what's happening, when I saw in the Brownsville Revival, the one thing I saw is I saw the Holy Spirit convicting people.
Yes.
When I went up to that altar in Brownsville and got down on my knees, Holy Spirit in me, he just started convicting me of every little thing, the little sins that I didn't think were important, you know, the things that I overlooked, the things that I wink at, the things that were okey-doke by Felix.
Yep.
Holy Spirit said, they're not okay.
Yep.
They got to go. And as I cried out and repented, he washed me, he cleansed me. I felt brand new, and I was so happy to be that clean on the inside.
Yep.
And so that's what he wants to do to all of us, you know, if we will repent. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is repentance and the brokenness that only the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I've learned one thing. You can preach a message on sin, and if the Holy Spirit's not there to do the work, it'll be condemnation on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Person will feel condemned. When the Holy Spirit's there, he gives conviction. Mm-hmm. Conviction brings repentance, brings restoration.
Yep.
And so what we're seeing in our church, I've seen, is that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When our preacher preaches, or when we were praying the other morning,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit fell, conviction came on all of us. We
mm-hmm.
felt and we repented, mm-hmm. and we cried, and mm-hmm. we cried out to God, and we just sensed his power and his forgiveness
mm-hmm.
as we repented and turned from our stuff.
Right.
So it was good, and we're seeing it at altar calls, you know, every Sunday, every service, where God is bringing people up front.
Amen.
They're weeping, they're crying, they're repenting, they're
mm-hmm.
turning, and they want more of God. So, yeah.
Another part that says here about revival, that it encompasses the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion mm-hmm. for his word and his church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin,
mm-hmm.
a spirit of humility,
mm-hmm.
and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness.
Yep.
Righteousness.
Yep.
So that means that all of a sudden that there's something inside you that says, come on, man, we want to do the right thing. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what Jesus tells me to do in his word. I want to be like him, because that's who we are to
mm-hmm.
be like. And when we desire to be like him, things start to change.
Yeah.
The heart has already changed. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a matter of just hanging on mm-hmm. and then realizing that, hey, man, you can actually walk on this merry-go-round. It's not a merry-go-round, but you mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Just hanging on and just going through with this sort of thing because God has something in store.
Yeah,
He has something in store. And that's what many of us sometimes just forget about or not realize that there is something that He has in store for each one of us. Each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. Let's come back and let's talk about something that, let's see, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Yet I hold this against you." This is Jesus speaking. "You have forsaken your first love." We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same.
Go, our producer. There you go, our producer actually knows which ones to play for us.
She's the bumper queen.
There you go, man. I'm telling you, flame. Yeah. Just fan it up, fan it up. Okay, you know, here's the deal. We're talking about revival. You guys have heard a few things that we've come up with and share. But sometimes what's really important is like, okay, things are going on in my life, maybe, but I'm not sure if it has anything to do with what you guys are talking about, but some application that you guys could be aware of, things that can actually take place. So the application is becoming aware, being sensitive to your surroundings and what's going on. And one of them that you had mentioned already is what you'd mentioned, the dissatisfied with your pet sins in mm-hmm. a sense. What does that look like?
Well, that looks like, you know, you're a smoker, right? And you, and hey, you know, smoking is just stupid. It's not necessarily a sin, but it's just a habit that you don't need to have. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to ruin your lungs. So he'll convict you of it by making the different, you're not being happy with smoking anymore. You know, and you change brands, and the other brand doesn't taste good. You say, and sooner or later, you say, well, God, why don't you just take this from me? God says, oh, thank you. And he will, and he does. Or any other, pornography. You know, you're into your pornography. You're watching your favorite pornography stuff, and you say, man, it just doesn't feel the same way. It just doesn't, I'm not enjoying this, you know. And you just, in your sense, you just sense that it's just not what it used to be because God is pulling you towards him. That's revival.
You know, and a big part of this is that when you had mentioned about like pornography or whatever, you know, you get to that place where all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at it for a reason. Okay. Mm. And it usually ends up being that you end up wanting to make love to yourself. That's really what it comes down to. Okay, but that does not become as fulfilling as it was when you were youthful, in a sense. It's just not the same. And actually, there's a part of you that says, man, this is just, why am I doing this? I don't believe. See, just that pausing and thinking about it, that's the Holy Spirit in you, brother. If you've actually received and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay, not just your Savior, but your Lord, more importantly, that He's inside of you, and he's saying, man, don't bring this in here. Don't bring this stuff in here.
You know, so I just remembered something. You know, sin, when I was deep in sin and stuff, there are times in sin that you have to do more of that sin than the last time. You know, you have to watch more pornography than the last time.
Yes.
Those are the times when those are the critical times, because that's the time that you can get free, because you are dissatisfied with the level. You're no longer getting the return that you used to get from that level of sinning.
Yes.
And so what the devil does, he wants to take you deeper. But you've got the opportunity to say, wait a minute, you know, because that's a critical time.
Yep.
So you either go deeper into your sin or you turn away from it and say, well, wait a minute, God, you got to deliver me from this. But that's a critical time, guy.
Right.
So the next time you have to up it and do more of whatever you're doing, that's the time to really cry out to God, because you can get a breakthrough there.
Yeah, because there's a transition that needs to take place. And in that transition, there's going to be some challenges, some pauses, or things that don't flow very smoothly, no matter what that looks like. It could be that you're all of a sudden looking at free stuff, and then now you want to start paying for stuff.
Right.
As you pull out your credit card, ready to put it in there, say, whoa, that's a pause. Whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the opportunity that you need to step back away. And instead of looking at it online, go to Band of Brothers Radio and listen to one of the podcasts.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
but the simple fact,
or drinking one quart of scotch, you know, and now you don't get as drunk as anymore from a quart. You need to go to two quarts.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things we're talking about.
Now, and here's what we sometimes it's not so much the pleasure that we're seeking as it is we're trying to escape from the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because so many of us, and I'll speak for myself, the drinking and the drugging were done because I didn't want to keep thinking about things that were on my mind, things that I never dealt with, or maybe things I didn't have any control over that happened in my life that to me or whatever, and things I just don't want to remember. And when I am not in that euphoric state of mind, okay, all of a sudden I'm thinking about those things.
Right.
But Jesus will help you deal with that, okay? He will give you everything. He does, as a matter of fact, and it's free. It's in the Bible. You may not know where it is, but that's where relationship comes in, with knowing other men
that
have been through challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important for us as men to be able to share with other men our weaknesses.
Yeah.
This is where I was weak.
Yeah.
Jesus said to Paul, he told him, said, hey, listen, it's through your weaknesses that my power will be perfected.
In your weakness.
Okay? It's in your weakness.
That's right.
And that's how God reaches us. That's how he'll reach somebody else. That's how you'll be reached.
That's right.
Okay? And you are right now. Mm-hmm. Because the simple fact is that there are things in your life that you have no control over. And I don't know about you or Felix or anybody else, but I will tell you this. I have no control over anything. Except one thing, my attitude toward my relationship with Jesus. I do have control of that.
Well,
I can change that. I can actually say, no, I want to go do these other things instead.
Yeah.
Okay? He gives us a self-will. It's not about him saying, hey, this is what you're going to do. No, you have a choice.
Right. And self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit that he loves to give us. But, you know, guys, we've got to know that these wounds that we have in our heart that we're trying to medicate and get rid of, the pains, you know, that's what God is the healer of our hearts. He's the only one. All these other things are cheap imitations that the devil puts out there to get us to fall into the trap of counterfeit stuff that he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's not legit. None of it. It's like he's got us on this hook that you have to have more of it in order to soothe the pain, but it's always there. You wake up in the morning after the hangover, it's still there. After the drugs wear off, it's still there. After you've done the pornography and masturbated, it's still there. So it's only with God that it goes away, because he is the healer of our hearts. He doesn't medicate our hearts. He heals them. And so we've got to get sick and tired of being on the hook and spending the money that we spend and spending the time that we spend on foolishness, foolish, cheap imitations, when the God of the universe wants to touch and change you. Yeah, really. I'm not joking. It's for sure. You don't believe me? He's done it to you. He's done it to Raul. He's done it to me. And so revival for me is allowing God to take me further, taking me deeper, taking me higher to places that I haven't even been before, as I seek to know him more because, you know, sin and holiness just don't work together very well. And God wants to be us to be holy. And just holiness is just getting rid of our sin and not holding on to it, because he'll love to have it, but we've got to give it to him. He's not going to wrestle us to the ground and take it from us.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the people that he actually puts or has in our lives that could help us find this new way of living. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Into your word, we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. I'm trying to get Felix all lit up over here. He's empty now.
Yeah, I've spent mine.
I think he's depressed is what it is.
Why?
I don't know. I think you just...
I don't ever get depressed.
Okay, you won't get depressed. No. I believe that. Okay, some of the people that God puts in our lives to help us to be able to see that be able to assist us in being able to help us get out of this funk that we're in, right?
How do we know we're in a funk?
When nobody's hanging out with you.
Then every guy you know is in a funk.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, really, Jesus says, hey, I want you to be more like me, right?
Mm.
He's relational.
Yeah.
God hung out with everybody.
Definitely relational. Okay?
And that's what he wants us to be able to do. And there's a reason for it, because men, we have a tendency of saying, I don't need to be around all those people. I'm not like those people. You know what?
You are.
Yeah, more than you realize. If you're married, you have a helpmate. The helpmate would be more than happy to assist. And you're probably saying, oh, no, ain't no way.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah, because there. Why wouldn't you want to go there?
That's a whole nother program.
No, Let's be short and sweet about it.
Short and sweet.
Come on.
God gave you a helpmate to help you. That's short and sweet.
Do you believe that?
Do I believe that?
Yes.
Of course. I live it.
Sure. Well, you're making it sound like you wanted to avoid that.
I'm living it. No, but it's deeper than that.
I understand
guys
that.
Guys have stuff.
But we like to keep things simple on the show.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get deeper.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, saint.
Yes.
That's
Sally.
No, saint. Yeah. We're all saints, right?
Amen.
Saint. So keep it simple, saint.
Yes.
Okay?
Saint
so the simple fact is that there are those that God puts in our lives, and even friendships, okay, that maybe have gone stale or quiet because that friend of yours that was close, he still goes to church, and he still doesn't do things that you like to do. And because his life is changing, and you're afraid that if you hang out with him, your life might change to look like that too. And you're not sure whether you want to go there or not.
What do you got to lose?
Yeah. Well, the fact is, you got to get to that place of realizing that the path that you're on and the train that you're on is there's probably a busted bridge up ahead somewhere.
But until you come to that conclusion, you're just going to keep on that same road. And you know what? If you don't change, you wind up at the busted bridge and you fall off. Then you yell out for help. God comes and helps you. He puts you back on the road, and then you go off and say, thank you, God, and you go your way. No, that's not what God wants. God wants to walk with you on the path. It's a journey with him.
You know, one of the things that I think that is very detrimental to our relationship with Jesus is compromise.
Oh, yeah.
When we start to compromise our belief in our value system that he instilled in us that are there, mm-hmm. and we start to be, letting loose, so to speak, okay, mm-hmm. or not holding fast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you got anything to say about that?
Compromise is the devil's easiest way into our lives, because he allows you to go to church sometimes.
Yes.
He just doesn't let you go to church all the time. And so the compromise is, all right, well, I'll stay home, you know, a couple of Sundays and go a couple of Sundays. Yeah, that's the compromise. You're compromising the time that you should be getting the word and getting fed and hanging out with godly people and saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to watch, football, basketball, or whatever you're going to watch,
right.
or go fishing, or
right.
play with your truck in the garage, or whatever, right. whatever alternative you have. So compromise, and compromise in the church, even. There's messages that are compromising, you know, that don't tell the real story, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, about sin, or about the cross, about the blood. And so compromise runs rampant, and the devil uses it. It's one of his best, because it's a mixture. It's a mixture of half-truths, you know. Yeah, you know, you're going to heaven, so you don't have to worry about what you're doing. You're going to heaven anyway. Or, you know, the whole thing is you're too bad. So the whole thing of compromise, we need to come against, because Jesus didn't compromise anything.
And he's, we have a little bit of time here, but let's go down this avenue here of adding, giving application of what it looks like for a man, us, normal Joe, okay, to be able, what does this look like for us to do? What is it that we can do, okay, to be able to stir up, I don't know. I don't want to say this church wide or county wide or nationwide revival, but what can we do individually?
It starts with me. It starts.
But
with
is, does
me.
It really? Is
yeah.
it?
You know, it starts with me.
Okay.
I have to be dissatisfied with where I am. When I'm dissatisfied with where I am, then I will open myself up to more of God. When I'm dissatisfied with my sin life, when I'm dissatisfied with the way things go, when I realize that he is the only hope, then I can open myself up to him. Then he can give me the gift of repentance. I can turn from my wicked ways, and I can hear from heaven, and then he can heal me. And then the combination of us doing that, putting each other and stoking each other's fire. Because it's about fire.
Yep.
You know, we need to be on fire for God. We don't need to be lukewarm. Compromise is being lukewarm.
Yep.
You know, being on fire for God, being willing to do anything God says any time of the day or night, and
yep.
be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he talks to us and wants to have this relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get passionate about God, then we can really see revival in our homes. And that's where it needs to start. It needs to start burning bright in my house, where we turn off the TV on some of that stuff we watch, where some of the music we listen to needs to be turned down. If some of the words that come out of our mouth to our wives and our kids need to change. We need to be thinking like Jesus and acting like Jesus as much as possible.
And you know that there are going to be men who are hearing what you're saying, and they're saying, but you don't understand, Felix.
Oh, yeah.
You don't understand because, you know, my daughter is in the hospital. She just got hit by a car. And I've had things take place at work, et cetera, et cetera. My wife is, you know, whatever, okay? There's nobody around. There's always just this. And, you know, so you just don't understand where I'm at. What do
no,
you say
but, no, I don't, but God does. I don't understand where you are, brother, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one you need to grab onto. He's the one that you need to dive into. He's the one that you need to run to, because he's a strong tower who has answers to all your questions. He has solutions to all your problems. So he is the one. So as we go to him, we can get the relief that we need and take that burden off. You're not supposed to carry this stuff all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to,
mm-hmm.
because that's why we have God.
So the responsibility part of where I'm going here, that some guys will sit there and think, well, you know, I know what the right thing is for me to do, but if I did that, I could end up, as an example, going to jail. Okay, I could end up getting in trouble, losing my job. I could end up losing my family. My wife will be upset if she finds out about these things. I can't go to God because then I'd end up having to tell them these things. So there's a fear that the life is going to change.
Right.
Not necessarily wanting to continue in a certain area, but they are trying to avoid getting it.
Yeah. And that's why it's important that we get to know God. I give you an example in my life. When I was still in the world, I had almost, I think it was $80,000 worth of IRS bills, taxes that I owed, you know, back taxes and stuff. And nobody knew about it. And when I gave my life to the Lord, the Lord said, you need to turn yourself in. I said, what? You know, no. But he calmed my soul and calmed my heart. And then he gave me the strategy. He gave me the lawyer to go to. I went to the lawyer. He worked out a strategy. I was free. I didn't have to go to jail. I didn't have to do time. He worked it all out. And so we've got to learn how to trust God because he, like I say, he is the answer to every question, the solution to every problem. We've just got to give him the opportunity to do it. He will get, I took a guy that was a drug dealer. I took him, he turned his life over to the Lord. We went to see the judge. Judge said, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but bang, I'm throwing this out. And the judge wasn't even a Christian.
Right.
We went outside and he shouted hallelujah. And he's served God ever since.
Yep.
Because, see, we got to trust God. God is powerful. Mm-hmm. He can get you out of that situation. And, brother, if he thinks you need to go to jail, then he will be with you in jail. Maybe you need a jail ministry on the inside. You know, maybe you need, see, but when God is with you, you have everything. And victory is yours. So you don't have to fear. You know, life without God is fearful. Life with God is no fear because the only one we fear is the Lord. And when the fear of the Lord is in you, you don't have to worry about man. And you can, and as David, King David used to say, God, I throw myself on your judgment and your mercy, O God, because I don't trust man, but I trust you.
You know, one of the things is that we end up so often being stirred up in this, and fear is something that comes from the enemy, and that is like a corroding thread in our lives that just, I tell you what, it just knows how to be able to poke at us and to be able to keep us from doing anything. But fear will also light us up, okay, to move in a direction, you know. And that fear of God, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but that's so important for us to have not just a reverence for God, but an actual fear. He's the one who, if he wanted, he just has to snap his fingers, and we stop.
Yeah.
We stop existing.
Yeah,
right?
That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't fear the devil, fear God.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a holy fear. And once you get to the fear, then you can go to the love, because love casts out all fear. So you don't have to fear God once you love him, because the relationship with him is just like, I don't fear my wife, but I fear losing the relationship. That's why I don't go out and have affairs, because I don't want to lose my relationship with my wife. And so you don't want to lose your relationship with God either. So the whole thing is stick close to him.
The cares and worries of life can beat us down, leaving us emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. Revival can lift us up to new hope and faith. The evidence of revival, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon believers, is changed lives. Great movements toward righteousness, evangelism, and social justice occur. Believers are once again spending time in prayer and reading and obeying God's word. Believers begin to powerfully use their spiritual gifts. There is confession of sin and repentance. So, you know, brother, what it comes down to is
sounds
that...
Sounds good to me.
I tell you what, just when you feel that nudge, when you feel that pulling of the Holy Spirit on your heart, you know, just trust in him and just let it come out. Just let it come out. Submit completely to him. He's got you. He's got you. He's holding you in his arms, his everlasting arms. He's not going to let you go. He did not bring you this far to drop you, brother. Mm. He brought you this far to teach you how to be able to fly. So, my brother Felix, will you pray for those who are listening?
Father, I just thank you that you want to be our best friend, that you want to set us on fire for you, that you want to blaze in our lives, in our hearts. And Father, I just ask today that the men that listen to this would give you the opportunity to set their lives on fire again, that they would be able to burn brightly for you. You're the only reason that we should even take breath in this life. If we're not glorifying you, then we're just taking up space. I ask that each and every man would realize his purpose and his place in life and in death, and that he would cling to you. In Jesus' name, amen.